What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Will Clemente is the lead insights analyst at Blockware. He has quickly become one of my favorite writers in all things Bitcoin, including deep dives and various on-chain analytics. In this conversation, we discuss the Bitcoin fundamentals, the on-chain metrics, what happened this past week, and what the on-chain data is telling us to be prepared for moving forward. I really hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Will, as I always do. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is AppSumo. AppSumo is the leading digital marketplace for entrepreneurs and a great way to get your product in front of 1+ million entrepreneurs, founders, and small businesses. AppSumo is giving away their entire $1 million Black Friday marketing budget to creators. If you have an ebook, an online course, a template, or any other digital product, this is for you. You can list your product on AppSumo between September 15th and November 17th, and the first 400 offers to go live will receive $1,000. The next 2,000 to list a product and go live get $250, and everyone who lists gets entered to be one of the 10 lucky winners of $10,000. Go to appsumo.com/pomp to list your product today and cash in on this amazing deal. Again, appsumo.com/pomp, or you can click on the link in the description as well. appsumo.com/pomp. Next up is Gemini. They're a regulated cryptocurrency exchange, wallet, and custodian. Some might say they're actually an industry-leading regulated cryptocurrency exchange, wallet, and custodian that makes it simple and secure to buy, sell, store, and earn Bitcoin, Ether, and over 40 other cryptocurrencies. They offer an industry-leading security, insurance, and uptime. Gemini is the go-to trusted platform for beginner and sophisticated investors alike. You can open a free account in under 3 minutes at gemini.com/pomp and get $20 of Bitcoin if you trade $100 or more within the first 30 days. Again, it takes 3 minutes when you go to gemini.com/pomp, and you'll get $20 of Bitcoin after you trade $100 or more within 30 days. Gemini.com/pomp. What are you waiting for? Let's go. Last but not least is OKCoin. If you haven't started to build your crypto portfolio on OKCoin, there's no better time. They're one of the fastest growing global exchanges around, and they have some promotions happening right now to help even more people start being a part of the future of finance. If you have an account already, you can split $100 in Bitcoin with a friend when you invite them to sign up for OKCoin. If they buy $100 of crypto in the first month, you invite them, they buy $100 of crypto, you both split a free $100 from OKCoin. The more friends who sign up and buy, the more Bitcoin you get. And I always recommend dollar cost averaging as a way for investors to have more control over their average price when building their portfolio. Now you can automate dollar cost averaging with completely fee-free daily, weekly, or monthly recurring buys on OKCoin until November 1st. That's right, those automatic dollar cost averaging purchases are completely free of fees, whether you're doing it daily, weekly, or monthly until November 1st. That's no fees at all on your purchases until the holidays. Get started on the web or on their super easy to use app at okcoin.com/pomp. Again, okcoin.com/pomp. All right, let's get this episode with Will. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guest as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hi, man. What's going on?
Not too much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We got it figured out. Let us just get a four. Just hold the four up to start the fourth quarter. I know. Yes. All right. We're going to move through this. Jeff Lewis is coming on in a few minutes, but there's no way we're doing this show without Will the Wizard on Friday telling us what's going on chain metrics. John already brought it up. Sopra, first chart. What's going on here?
Yeah, last week, you know, we were looking at this bounce. When you look at this little blue circle, shaded circle that I put in there, that's what where we were at last week. And so we were looking for, do we start to get continuation to the upside in the ratio? And we have, in fact, as you see on the right-hand side of the chart. So this kind of resembles, if you look back to like September of last year, we had this 20+ percent correction, and then we came back down, retested that one threshold, and then started moving up from there. So want to see that ideally, but you know, at a minimum, you want to see that one threshold, you know, hold obviously, and maybe stabilize above one. But yeah, I mean, ideally we continue higher. What you don't want to see obviously is for us to go below and then retest it, and it becomes resistance. But for now, looking really good.
Awesome. Exchange supply shock ratio. Maybe not as bullish as it's been, but still not bearish either, is my read.
Yeah, so we have three different things here. The one that's slightly bearish is the highly liquid ratio. So this is looking at the movement of coins from the highly liquid entities to liquid entities. So the ratio ticking down just means coins are moving to the highly liquid entities. I think you're starting to get some of this reflecting in price. I'm actually kind of short-term, I wouldn't say like short-term bearish, but I'm a little cautious over the next 2 days. I think we probably come down and like retest like 53K, partially because of this. Also, exchange flows are just flat over the last 2 weeks. They're down like 490 BTC, which of course like isn't bearish to say. It's just not, you know, strongly bullish. So it's just neutral. And then like when you look at the derivatives funding, so you look at the perpetual swap funding, we've had a really big spike over the last like 24 hours. And so to me, you know, what that shows is like traders are basically trying to leverage long the dip. And then oftentimes, like when you see funding go in the opposite direction of price, it usually resolves in the direction of price. So like one example would be when we came off that failed breakdown of 30K. I remember We did one of these, and I was saying that we were set up for favorable conditions for a short squeeze. And the reason was the same kind of setup, but the opposite. So you had funding going more negative as price was going up and open interest relative to market cap was going up. So in other words, you had people piling on shorts as price was going the opposite direction. And that resolves, of course, we had this massive, I remember at the time it was a huge move, to like mid or upper 40Ks off those lows. So I don't think we're going to have a move of that magnitude, but I'm just saying it's, you know, when you start to see, that's just a good example of when you start to see funding go in the opposite direction of price, especially as open interest is increasing as a proportion to market cap, you're susceptible to these moves that oftentimes resolve in the direction of price. So I think you have some late shorts that hopped in. And over the last 24 hours, I mean, you look at like some of the APRs on funding, like I'll pull it up right here. You know, we're looking at like on some exchanges up to like 67% APR, like on Bybit, for example, which oftentimes Bybit's wrong. While at the same time, FTX is much lower at like 20%, and Deribit's at 38%. So like overall, the, you know, funding is, seen a big spike over the last 24 hours. So I don't know. I'm kind of short-term cautious. Obviously, like long-term picture hasn't changed at all, but just to, you know, for hodlers, like who cares, right? But I'm just saying, you know, just be wary. If we start to trend down over the next couple of days, come back down and retest that 53K area. And even as low as that retesting the break above the point of breakdown for May at 50K, I don't think that's out of the cards, but I think like that 53K is probably a logical area. That's also like the $1 trillion market cap area too. So I just think there's a couple of different things in Confluence that kind of point to that being a nice little area to maybe scoop up some BTC over the next couple of days. But yeah.
Let's skip ahead to the supply shock ratios. I saw you tweet this out earlier this week, and this chart to me seems like one of the most important charts right now in all of Bitcoin, where you've got kind of the historical supply shock and you've outlined it in this like green bar. Talk to me a little bit about like what this chart is really highlighting. And then once we kind of go through it the way that we have, what does that mean for kind of future price movements?
Sure. So what you see is heading into the bull market, the long-term guys begin to sell into strength, and then heading into weakness, the long-term guys begin to accumulate heavily. So conversely, the short-term guys increasingly hold a larger portion of supply into strength, and then they move out of the market into weakness. The speculators all leave. And so what you see here is we're comparing the long-term holder supply to short-term holder supply to get the long-term holder supply shock ratio. And what you see is just, this is illustrating the concept that when long-term holders lock up a certain portion of supply, then you get the supply squeeze effect on the market. Long-term holders basically set the floor in a macro sense. And so we've actually reached an all-time high in this metric. So if you look at the little circled area in the top right, you see we're at all-time highs. And so what this is showing is just these long-term guys are locking up a large portion of supply, and you're starting to get that effect on the market, that supply squeeze effect on the market. One other thing I find interesting about this, though, is like, as we've talked about many times, we use a five-month threshold for this. So 155-day threshold for this. When you go back 5 months ago, well, where were we? Well, 5 months ago is May 8th, right? And so that was 11 days before we had this initial large drawdown to 30K. So to me, that's pretty interesting, right? Because you're seeing that these people are now aging into long-term holders that held the whole way down. And so to me, that's pretty remarkable. It's showing that perhaps, these market participants have a longer term time horizon.
Got it. And then let's go and look at the Bitcoin miners themselves. You've got two different charts. One is just the miners, and then one is the miner net position change. Let's start with the miners chart. What is this showing us? And then kind of what is your view in terms of what it's really telling us?
Yeah, so the first chart with the three different colors, orange, that's hash rate. And then the blue line is difficulty. And then the green line is miner balances. So what you're seeing is that hash continues to come back online. Pretty aggressively, and it's come back online so aggressively that we've had six positive difficulty adjustments in a row, which I don't even know the last time that's happened. It's just another way of kind of showing the same thing. And then also miners have started accumulating a bit after selling into that rally off of the 30K lows. They did sell a bit, but now they're slowly buying somewhere. Nothing substantial, but they are now back in a positive trend of accumulation. And that's reflected in that miner net position change metric. This is just looking at the 30-day change of miner balances. So you can see we just started creeping back into that green area. And that's the second chart up with the, highlighted with that little blue circle. So that's what's going on with miners. Also, like at the bottom, you'll see the hash ribbon. This is another really interesting metric. This is like probably one of the best macro buy signals, you could say, in Bitcoin. When you pair this with like moving averages for price, it's never been wrong, actually. And so what you're trying to capture here is like you're looking for these minor capitulation events and then where hash rate starts coming back online. And so from first principles, you're just basically saying, like, for example, in 2018, you had this large miner capitulation. Once miners are done puking out their coins, then you can start moving higher. And so we've got this hash ribbon buy signal about a month ago, a month and a half ago. So that means that the 30-day moving average of hash rate is crossing the 60-day moving average of hash rate, while at the same time, the 10-day moving average of price is crossing the 20-day moving average of price. When you look at this, when you go from white to light red, that means that the 30-day is crossing the 60-day moving average. When you go from light red to red, you're going from you're going below. And then when you go from light red to red, you're crossing above the 60-day. And then the red to white is when the 30-day crosses the 60-day to the upside. And also you have the 10-day crossing the 20-day.
So if we zoom out, what's your take? Middle of the bull market, still super bullish over kind of the medium term, kind of next 90 days or so, or has your thoughts changed?
Still stand on my thesis over the next couple of months. Like I said, I think perhaps we get a bit of a pullback because some of the things we talked about, funding spiking, exchange flows are neutral, and they had been strongly bullish over the last month or so. So seeing like kind of a cooling off there, some coins becoming highly liquid. And then lastly, we're actually seeing a bit of selling from whales or profit taking from whales, which I don't think is a complete red flag. You're going to see these active managers, taking profits along the way. Like when you zoom out, if you want to pull that chart up for the audience, I think it's like the third or fourth chart. You'll see like the broader trend is still that they've been in accumulation and yep. they trimmed a bit too as well in early August. So it's not anything that it's like a red flag, like bull market's over. But I just think perhaps we're going to have a bit of a drawdown to maybe like 53K. But I don't know, man, like the market hasn't been giving anybody dips. So we'll see what happens. But for those reasons, I would just say like, I'm short-term cautious, not necessarily like short-term bearish, but long-term, you know, that outlook hasn't changed.
So my last question for you is, one of the metrics that I'm going to use to know that things are getting crazy is when your friends start asking you about Bitcoin that normally wouldn't. Are you still got a lot of friends who they have no clue what you do? They're not asking anything, or has that started to happen yet with the price going up a little bit?
No, not at all. Not more than usual. Some of my buddies tend to be a bit more you know, nerdy like me, because you know, we like geek out about stuff about like Bitcoin or whatever. But so I don't know. When I see people in general, like people like that I haven't seen in a while, like everyone's always like, you know, oh, I see you're doing stuff with Bitcoin, like what's up with that? But haven't seen any, like I haven't got any like text like, oh, is it a good time to buy Bitcoin or anything like that? I think like this stuff too is reflected in like Google search trends. I think the block has some good like retail related data. So you look at Google search trends, also like Coinbase app downloads is another way to look at it. Also you can look at the large Twitter accounts, the large YouTube accounts, like some of these things. But the Google search trends is primarily, I think that and the Coinbase app downloads are probably two of the better metrics for that. And those are both still way down. And then also you look at like, you can separate volume into, you say, okay, you know, what size transactions are dominating, are dominating volumes on each given day. And so what you see is over the last month and a half, really large transactions have completely dominated volume. Like we're talking like $10 million plus transactions have gotten up to like 80% of all the volume on any given day over the last month and a half. So that's just another way to look at right now, the institutional capital, I think the smarter money, you could say, I think is more so in the market. And I don't think we've seen retail come in full force yet.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. We got a whole bunch of shit we still got to go through on the show. Will, you're a legend. Will the Wizard. Please, if you haven't already, go follow him on Twitter. Well, you crossed over 300,000 followers now, on his way to a million.
Will passed me.
Yeah.
Will.
Congratulations, Will, on all your success so far.
Beast. Appreciate it, man. You congrats.
Hey, that's the real flipping.
Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Awesome, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll talk soon. All right, thanks so much.
All right, see you guys.